here and get your message.
Need a motion to come back into regular session from recess?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlette, second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? Take a vote, Mr. Arlette.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. We're now back in regular session, public hearings. Mr. Robertson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to read the rules and procedure for the county council public hearings. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County in its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each application will be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and the testimony from the planning and zoning hearing, and that information will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the planning and zoning hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain its application and present reasons supporting the application. Council may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant has presented its application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless the council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front of the room and stand at the speaker stand to state your name and home address before you make a statement. We also ask that you sign the speaker's sheet at the speaker stand, which is up there with a pen. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to me and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that prior speakers have already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or similar device, we ask you to take the time now to switch it off or turn it to the silent service. Finally, at the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. And if the Planning and Zoning Commission has deferred action, council will do likewise. Thank you, Mr. President. And with that, I'll announce the first item on today's agenda. And it is change of zone number 1818 filed on behalf of Ocean Highway LLC. The short title is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 1.18 acres more or less. And its 911 address is 34130 Citizens Drive in Lewis. Ms. Cornwell.
Thank you. The application was received on December 12th of 2016. The Planning Commission held a public hearing March 23rd of 2017. At that meeting, they did hold a public hearing and received comments. Planning Commission deferred that application and then made a recommendation to recommend approval of the change of zone from AR1 to CR1 at their April 6th, 2017 meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Cornwell. Is there any questions of counsel for Ms. Cornwell before we proceed? Seeing none, Mr. Davidson.
Thank you. Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Mark Davidson. I'm a principal land planner with Pannoni Associates, located just outside of Milton, Delaware. Here with me tonight is Mr. Joe Reed. He is the owner of Ocean Highway LLC. And I've submitted a small hearing exhibit booklet as a part of this application. This is a piece of property that's located on the intersection of Coastal Highway and Dartmouth Drive. This is the site of the what used to be the old Lowe's home supply building prior to them moving north up there at Five Points. Mr. Reed purchased the property approximately about 20 years ago, and he has repurposed the existing Lowe's building into a shopping center called Henlopen Plaza. The subject of this property is what's outlined there in red. The property is broken up into two different parcels. The Hennepin Plaza is made up of the home goods store, the kitchen and company, Cape Wine and Spirits. Citizen Bank sits out there along Coastal Highway. And in the back, there's Quality Roofing Supply, and the ProBuild Building Supply Company is located in the rear. In the booklet, I've submitted a zoning map, and this is the zoning map here. The subject of today is there's a small portion of the back of this shopping center that is still zoned AR1. It's a small strip of land. It's about 80 feet wide. It's approximately 614 feet long along the back, and totals approximately about 1.1 acres of the existing shopping center. We're asking for that to be rezoned CR1. Located on the on that property is an existing storage building currently being used for personal storage at this time. The reason for the rezoning is that Quality Roofing Supply would like to expand their facility and stay in the place that they are. They've run out of room there, and the other thing is that we're trying to get the trucks to stay off of Dartmouth Drive from parking. What happens is supplies come early in the morning, waiting for the Quality Supply and ProBuild to be able to open up their facility. They park on Dartmouth Drive before entering in on the site. So the expansion of this site, and I've included a site plan. Again, it's in the booklet there. You'll see that we're looking to renovate the existing storage building that's located right here. That building there will be reduced in size to allow for trucks to be able to come off in the back here and be able to park and wait for them to be able to enter the facility. If you've been by the facility, the entire facility is fenced in with gates and security, and the only access there is when the actual employees of both facilities show up and are able to let the vehicles in. This property, along the adjacent rear of this property back here, in the back here, is the Tidewater Wastewater Treatment Plant. And then the Homeowners Association does have their clubhouse and pool along the back here on Rolling Meadows Subdivision. So we are, the effects of this expansion for this facility happens along where Tidewater has their water treatment plant at this time. The site is served by Tidewater, and it is also served by Sussex County Sewer, but no extensions of those facilities because there's no new buildings being proposed. It's just an expansion of the Quality Roofing Supplies storage yard at this time to be able to store more materials to basically serve the building needs of the community. DelDOT estimated that no new additional trips will be generated. And again, what we anticipate is that fewer trips will be generated by being able to bring in, with the expansion of the storage yard, trucks will be able to bring supplies in during the off-peak season of the time, be able to store more materials, and that way less frequent vehicles will be coming to the site during the peak times of the year. Thus, alleviating some traffic congestion, but not all, but some in this area. The proposed rezoning to CR1 is in character with the nature of the facility. Again, the zoning map I showed that we're adjacent, and all up and down this corridor is all zoned commercial at this time. The 2008 Sussex County Comprehensive Plan identifies this as a commercial property. It's in an environmentally sensitive developing area, and which is a developing area, and it affords this kind of commercial growth when immediately adjacent to the general commercial zoning. We are in a level one based on the 2015 state strategies for policies and spending. Like I said, we are in Tidewater's facilities. No new expansions of any types of utilities are expected because, again, no new buildings are being expected at this time, so there's no new infrastructure is really going to be needed. And again, DelDOT has said with no traffic impact study needed, the reduction in traffic and the proposed zoning meets the general purpose of the zoning ordinance being located in the appropriate location. It is all along the existing major thoroughfare of Coastal Highway. It is serving a wide area and located particularly along the certain major roads within Sussex County, and is desirable for the general convenience, orderly growth, prosperity, and welfare of the county. With that, that's pretty much my presentation. The booklet has all the exhibits in it. I've placed in the back of the booklet some findings of facts. The Planning and Zoning Commission voted unanimously on this application. So at this time, Mr. Reed and I here will take any questions that you have.
Is it Lot 82 between the rec area and open space?
That is the rec area, yes.
What's Lot 82? Is that?
Right.
Yeah, what's on there?
That's the recreation.
That's all part. In other words, that's all. There's no homes, is what I'm trying to get at. They're not residential lots, right? Right.
Yeah. One of them,
oh, so
yes, there is a house.
There is a home on that.
There's a home on that one.
Right.
Okay, that is a single family. Okay. Then the next one is open space on the corner.
Open space, that's a stormwater pond. And then on the corner up here is the recreation area. Is there a pool and clubhouse and then
right, I know that. I know, but it's that one lot 80, I get 82 or something. Okay. Okay. Well, is there a sufficient space on your proposed 24-foot wide driveway?
Yeah, the reason for
any landscaping, I mean?
Yes, the reason for reducing the, and I can.
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
Good afternoon, council members. My name is Joseph Reed. I'm the owner of the property, but one additional point. I don't think Mr. Davidson mentioned it's a non-conforming AR lot, but, in 2003, I think it was, I went and got a permit for that pole building to put that up, and I've just used that for the last, I guess it's been now, 14 years for my personal storage, stuff that I should have thrown away a long time ago, probably would have. But when I went and got that permit, even then, there was a lot of confusion on the zoning of that property, and they thought it was commercial, and had to go through a little bit of a process to determine that was in fact residential, and I didn't have to go through all the fire marshal requirements and all that for that storage building. And this is precipitated because I think Mr. Davidson mentioned Quality Roofing had approached me about a year ago and wanted to expand their yard so they can stock more materials. And yes, that lot 82, there is one house that backs up, and I think we've got some pictures of it, but it does sit. Those Burley Meadows was developed before sewer was available in that area, and they're all either half or three-quarter acre lots, I believe is the minimum lot size, but they're larger lots than you're seeing customarily now, and that house does sit up. There's a pretty nice buffer, I would estimate, probably 100 feet from the back
of that
house.
Yeah, the proposal is, what we're looking to do here is we're going to remove a portion of this building here.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
To leave these trees.
Yes.
All along that buffer there, and that way there's no disturbance to those trees. So this building is going to be taken, the back part of this building will be taken off to be able to have for that drive access aisle, and the buffer will be left.
Right.
And the other thing you said, trucks would be parked there and waiting to go in. I mean, what are we talking? You're not talking hours of trucks sitting there running and idling or stuff like they do with refrigerated trucks or anything like that. These trucks come in the morning and go into the yard.
Leave all.
They're bringing supplies.
They're bringing supplies.
Just bringing shingles,
et cetera. Right.
Shingles, okay. That's correct. Yes.
And currently they park on Dartmouth Drive because there's not a place for them to get off.
To
the
get
site.
In, right.
And so we have.
No, it is tight in there. I agree.
Mr. President, Mac, is there any other buffers beyond what we just saw between the two parcels? Between the residential versus the proposed change?
There was a row of Lelands that was probably planted down that whole property line 20-some years ago that are 20 feet plus in height, but there's not anything other than that.
Okay, and then also, any thoughts on proposed amount of traffic from these trucks on a daily basis?
Well, what quality has represented to Meequa, and I think you're here from their potentially hear from their this location manager today, but that this will allow them to reduce the number. They're having to have trucks come in a lot more frequently with less than a full load because they just can't physically store the shingle material and siding material now. So they have they tell me that they will this will allow them to have trucks come slightly less frequently. They're better, you know, which makes sense by inventorying more on site.
Okay, and then final question, I guess just more so for a historical, because I was just reaffirming with our county engineer that is, this is one big parcel, just a piece of it is quote unquote missing as it relates to the zoning, which is not something we typically do today. This is something really that had been done years ago, correct? How far back do we know?
It probably happened when it was originally zoned.
So, way many years ago. So
that's,
I just wanted to reaffirm that perhaps really this is kind of cleaning up, if you would, as I would say, as it relates to the current zoning. Okay.
Yeah, we agree, because being a non-conforming residential lot, I'm not even sure if I could put a residence on it. Yeah. But
right.
What's non-conforming about the frontage?
Yeah, it's only 80 feet wide.
Okay. Thank you.
So Council, Mr. Burton?
I got one. Are you building more storage? Is that you're storing? I mean, how are you storing more materials and not have more building?
Well, the yard is going to expand. I don't. If you their fence line right now is right at the edge of the AR1 C1 line. Whoops, no, back
oh,
a
next
little
line,
further.
Other line.
Oh no,
there you go.
Yeah, I think it's. Oh, you know, you were right. Their line is there because the drive comes at. You're right. Between there and the new fence line that's shown, it's essentially probably a 40% increase or close to 40 or 50% increase in their storage yard. And then as far as that personal, what's currently my storage building, I'll get the junk that I have in there out. And then they are going to, I think the door, it's got four garage doors on it. Oh, excuse me, four garage doors on now. But I think they're going to take those off and leave it open, but just four. And we're going to cut like 20, no, about 10 feet off the back of it. We're going to have to reduce the depth of the building. It's currently 40 feet deep. I think it'll be reduced to about 30 feet deep. But it'll basically be a three-sided open storage building where they can store siding and things, but that are out of the weather. There are no new structures proposed.
So the 40 feet is going to be really outside storage. So they're just going to drop the stuff on the ground.
Yeah.
Shingles are on the ground now.
Right.
Right. You go in there.
Right. Yeah, okay. I think they have some, I believe they told me that it's some of their hardy product that they want to get it out of the weather that they would put in that building. But the side of the building facing Route 1 will likely be open. It'll be a three-sided building.
And then you're really not changing anything behind Lot 82 north.
Correct.
Right, so.
At this time. I mean, you have the potential too, because once we rezone it, they can do it later on. But.
Correct.
And then this was this really just part of the 600 feet of commercial that was originally done? Is that what we're,
yes.
Is that where the line is created?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
More questions to council?
Hearing that there's none, gentlemen, you can take a seat and we'll see. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change in zone number 1818 filed on behalf of Ocean Highway LLC? Anyone wish to speak in favor? Oh, I do see somebody. Sir, if you would come forward. And if you would sign in and also state your name and place of residence for the record.
My name is Kevin Mitchell. I live on Goldenrod Circle in Milford. I am the location manager for Quality Roofing. And just want to reiterate, you had questioned the quantity of trucks typically. We may experience 8 or 10 tractor trailer trucks in and throughout the morning. So that drive being pushed back and allowed to get them off the street will probably pull 3 or 4 possible trucks early morning and then keep the flow rotating from there, just from our facility. And the extra storage space created we're moving the existing road on the edge of our lot out of our lot to the backside, which creates a 25-foot wide by 400-foot long storage area, which adds to our ability to store and buy as a pre-season. We buy tractor trailer loads pre-season in January-ish, and we can only buy about 75% of our needs for our projection to get us through the spring season. So we're already having to rebuy now because of storage space. So that both will be a win-win for us, getting the traffic off the road and not having anybody out in the middle of that or leaving the lane open and keeping us stocked and less trucks during the hassle period.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor of changing zone number 1818? Is there anyone here who would like to speak in opposition to changing zone number 1818? Mr. President, seeing none, I believe that closes the public hearing.
We will close public hearing. Okay with council, close public record. Mr. Robertson, if you'd read the short title.
I will do so. And again, it's change in zone number 1818 filed on behalf of Ocean Highway LLC, which is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 1.18 acres more or less.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Arlett, second, Mr. Wilson, to grant change in zone number 1818. Questions on the motion? Take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
I will vote yes per planning and zoning's recommendation, and I think it's, in the end, just makes sense to kind of complete the process as it is a majority already a commercial parcel, so yes.
Mr. Burton?
My motion is in favor of supporting planning and zoning's recommendation.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes and according to what P&Z has recommended.
Mr. Cole?
Yeah, I'll vote also with the other councilmen. The planning zoning recommendations are sufficient, so I'll vote yes.
I also agree with planning zoning recommendations or reasonings, and it certainly makes sense to square that property up as all being commercial versus that small part of AR land. I'll vote yes, motion carried. Next, sir.
Certainly. The next item on today's agenda is conditional use number 2072 filed on behalf of KMH Ventures DE LLC, and the short title is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for multifamily dwelling structures 20 units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 5.1 acres more or less. Ms. Cornwell.
Thank you. The Planning Commission held a public hearing on April 20th of this year. At their May 18th meeting, they did recommend approval with 10 conditions for the use as multifamily. Thank you.
Any questions? Sorry, Mr. President.
Oh, you're fine. Any questions to council, Ms. Cornwell? Okay, Mr. Robertson.
Yeah, Mr. Fuqua, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Robertson. Good afternoon, gentlemen. For the record, my name is Jim Fuqua. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown, and I am representing the applicant. With me are Frank Key. He is a member of the LLC that is the applicant. Jason Falkowitz of Solutions, the engineers of the site and design, and Ed Lene from Environmental Resources. There was an exhibit book submitted for the record that I believe you gentlemen have a copy of that does have an overview of the development and statements of compliance with the comp plan and the zoning ordinance, as well as a statement addressing the Section 99.9C criteria from the subdivision ordinance, which basically summarizes a criteria regarding development. This application is a conditional use application for a 20 single family residential unit development on a parcel of land containing 5.1 acres located on a northwest side of Munchie Branch Road, approximately 1,600 feet northeast of Route 1. The development will be in a condominium form of ownership, so there will not be individual lots. Rather, each owner will own their unit and a percentage interest in the land as a common element of the condominium. The applicant is actually purchasing the property from Mrs. Susan Wood. Her parents purchased the property in 1958 when Munchie Branch Road was still a dirt road. They built a home there and actually operated a kennel on the property for some time. As to the legal standards, the site is designated as an investment level 2 property under the strategies for state policies and spending. And under that document, it's indicated that that's an area where growth is anticipated by local, county, and state plans in the near-term future. This parcel, as well as a large area surrounding the parcel, is currently zoned GR General Residential. And as stated in the zoning ordinance, the purpose of the GR district is to provide for medium-density residential use, including manufactured homes. Also, the GR district permits a maximum gross density of 4.35 residential units per acre. Under the Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan, the parcel is actually in two designated growth areas. It's in the environmentally sensitive development area and also in the mixed residential area. Again, the comp plan provides that in the mixed residential area, the full range of housing types are appropriate, including single-family homes, townhouses, and multifamily units, and that the current densities in these areas range from a maximum of 4 homes per acre for single-family detached housing to a maximum of 12 units per acre for multifamily housing. As the mixed residential area designation indicates, this area is currently comprised of a broad mixture of residential and some commercial uses. The area surrounding the site contains several residential developments, including Beachfield, Curie Estates, and Shady Ridge, and they have a mixture of single-family and manufactured homes. To the west of the site is the Beach Haven development. That contains 72 units in 4 multifamily buildings. The Seabright Village development, containing 38 townhouse units, and the Brandywine Living Assisted Living Facility. The area along Route 1, as you well know, is zoned commercial and is developed with a wide range and mixture of businesses. In fact, from this site, you can access the Giant Grocery Store, the Walgreens Drug Store, the Wilmington Savings Fund Society Bank, and the Finn's Restaurant without going on to Route 1. So it's accessible. Those are accessible without even going on to Route 1. The development itself will have central water for domestic use and fire protection, and that would be provided by Tidewater Utilities, who already services that area. The site is within the Sussex County Westry-Hobith Sanitary Sewer District. The County Engineering Department sewer assumption for this parcel is 4 EDUs per acre, and the sewer capacity is available. There is a manhole nearby on Munchie Branch Road that is deep enough to serve the site by gravity sewer. A sewer concept plan was approved by the County Engineer Department in February 2017, and the 20 proposed units is in accordance with the planned EDU assumption for the parcel. A wetland delineation was performed by Ed Linnea of Environmental Resources. That study determined that the that there was approximately a half an acre of the site that would be classified as non-title wetlands. That half acre is located to the rear of the property, which of course is adjacent to the Munchie Branch. No wetlands will be disturbed by this development, and all buildings will be located at least 30 feet from the wetland boundary line, and that line will be marked. Stormwater management will meet or exceed DENREC and Sussex Soil Conservation requirements. Stormwater will be directed into a stormwater management system utilizing best management practices for treatment and discharge. There was soil testing performed by Hillis Carnes Engineering Associates, and that study indicated that soils were suitable to permit infiltration as a primary stormwater quality practice. DelDOT reviewed the surface level evaluation request for this application, and by letter dated October 28th of last year, indicated that the proposed 20-unit residential development would generate fewer vehicle trips per hour and per day then would require a traffic impact study. DelDOT's letter actually states that for purposes of determining if a TIS is required, that DelDOT considers this development's traffic impact to be negligible. The entrance to the development will be from Munchie Branch Road. That, of course, will be designed and constructed in accordance with DelDOT standards. There will be a 5-foot paved shoulder constructed along Munchie Branch Road along the front of the property. The Munchie Branch Road Route 1 intersection is controlled by a traffic signal that does permit traffic to cross Route 1 or to turn left or right onto Route 1. The site is located in the Cape Henlopen School District, and it's in the fire service area of the Rehoboth Beach Volunteer Fire Department, which has a station nearby on Route 1 next to the Seashell Shop on the south side of Route 1. There are no endangered or threatened species known to exist in the development, and that was confirmed by a letter from the Fish and Wildlife Service dated October 11th of last year, and there are no historical structures on or near the site, as indicated in a letter from the State of Delaware Historical and Cultural Affairs Department dated September 9th of last year. As to the specifics of the site plan, as you can see, there is one internal street providing access to the units that will be built to Sussex County street standards. The street will be private and maintained by the Condominium Association. There will be curbs and gutters on the street, there will be street lights, and there will be sidewalks on both sides of the street. There will be a 20-foot landscape buffer along the sides of the upland portion of the site, and from the front of the property there is a 40-foot building setback from Munchie Branch Road. There is a community gathering area. It's planned approximately in the center of the development next to a stormwater retainage area. That will have a picnic and seating area, some type of shade structure, some type of a place for sitting, and possibly a fire pit. Based on the size of it, there's no other recreational type amenity being planned. The passive and active open space, including the wetlands, will total approximately 2 acres of the 5-acre parcel. There's intended to have one lighted identification sign at the entrance to the development along Munchie Branch Road. As I stated, there would be 20 single-family detached residential condominium units. The gross density would be 3.9 units per acre, which is consistent with and actually less than the permitted GR density of 4.3 units per acre. The building design and layout will comply with all setback separation and height requirements of the zoning ordinance. 40 parking spaces are required. Each of the units in the proposed development will have a 2-vehicle garage and sufficient space in the driveway for 2 additional vehicles for a total of 80 off-street parking spaces. And since this is a condominium form of ownership, all yard and building maintenance, as well as open space, buffers, landscaping, street repair, stormwater management maintenance, anything else of that nature, would be the responsibility of the owners through the condo association. In summary, the requested 20 detached single-family residential units are appropriate for this location based on the comp plan and based on the existing mixed residential nature of the area. The current GR zoning permits 4.35 units per acre, and the county engineering department assumption for EDUs allocated to this site were 4 EDUs per acre. So our density of 3.9 is consistent with both the zoning and the sewer planning. On Thursday, May 18th, the Planning and Zoning Commission did unanimously recommend approval of the application subject to conditions. And that recommendation was based on the commission's findings that the area is zoned GR, which permits medium density residential, that the proposed 20 single family units are consistent with the mixed residential use in that area, which includes single family, multifamily, and manufactured homes, that the 20 units are consistent with the current zoning in the area, that the site is in a growth area under the comp plan, that the site will be served by public water and sewer, and that with the conditions recommended, that the use will have no adverse impact on the area and will create housing opportunities for the county. The applicant concurs with those findings of the commission and also the conditions that the commission recommended. With that would conclude our presentation, other than any questions you may have for anyone, and we do request your approval of the application.
Are there any questions of counsel for Mr. Fuqua?
What's the price point you guys are looking at? Just curious.
That's out of my league.
and size of the homes.
For the record, I'm Frank Key with Solutions, and also the applicant. The price point will likely be in the upper threes, lower fours. The size of the homes will probably range from 2,200 square feet to 3,400 square feet.
Okay. Two stories, I presume?
Two stories, yes.
Okay.
In fact, you could liken them to the houses that are built by Shell Brothers called the Avenue, on Rehoboth Avenue, very similar.
And the separation between the condos?
10 feet.
10 feet, okay. County code, okay.
Any other questions of council for these gentlemen? There appear there's no questions. You folks may take a seat, and we will see. Is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2072 filed on behalf of KMH Ventures, DE LLC? Mr. Brieger. If you would sign in on the sign-in sheet.
Basically, is what I'm here for is with the GR, is for the general residential. Basically, if general residential is more medium density, that's what should be approved in a general residential versus the AR versus the GR. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2072 filed on behalf of KMH Ventures? Seeing none, is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone? Yes, sir. Come on up. Good afternoon. If you would sign in and state your name and place of residence for the record.
First name's Fran. Last name's Haynes Schlager. And I'm from Fieldwood. I had, first of all, I wasn't familiar. There was a meeting.
18th of May, I was told there was only six copies here. I was voted on by people. Okay, that's fine. We'll make sure this gets to be a part of the record.
I was told the meeting was today. It's also my understanding that
just to clarify, that was the date. I think the Planning and Zoning acted on the public hearing that it had earlier that month, so there wasn't any public testimony or public hearing that occurred. It was just the date that action was taken.
Okay.
This is the first meeting or hearing of this body.
Okay. So I'm here on three different causes against the development. As I appeared here on the 20th in front of the commission, my main concern at that time was the traffic of automobile and pedestrian. Munchet Branch is one of the main routes, one of the two main routes to Wolf Neck State Park. It also houses a lot of the summer help. There's a lot of bicycle traffic. I took a drive, as I stated to the commission, on the 20th, a 7-minute drive from Wolf Neck. And the pictures that you see, which would be the second page through the eighth page, were pictures that I took during that 7-minute drive. This was, I remind you, it was in April, the middle of April. There's no bike path, there's no shoulder on the road. A left-hand turn off of Route 1 that was mentioned just previous. Sometimes you gotta sit 2-3 traffic lights to make that turn. They dealt not shortened that light on the weekends, so the weekends it's even worse. The second item that I have on the face sheet here, talking about the bicycle and the walking traffic, you can see some skateboarders and stuff like that. And then finally, I'm sure the county recognizes that this property backs up to wetlands, which backs up the Munchie Branch Stream, which 200 to 300 yards down the stream dumps into tidal water, marshland, tidal marshland. Personally walked it, and I attached a map showing Munchie Branch Stream and where it dead ends into the marsh, into the tidal water. The property itself, the back part of the property, tapers off pretty steep right into the stream. And then the other thing, I think I showed pictures. I showed a picture, the one picture of the little stream. That's on the, that would be the north side of Munchie Branch Road. You can see the, not obviously on the picture, from the picture, that's the best I could do, but the steady flow of the stream. And then there's some pictures of the trees there. That's when the, and I don't know what trees are going to be removed or which ones are proposed to be removed, but those trees appear to me, and I don't pretend to be a tree expert, but at least 50 years old. And finally, the pictures of the existing land, which was farmland, capable of absorbing rainwater, stormwater, and so on and so forth. I believe I heard that the stormwater control is going to be the responsibility of the condominium association. And I've been around a couple of those, so I don't think I have to express what that would be a concern right there alone. That's about it. I just want to take this opportunity to, with Memorial Day coming, to thank all our service people and for their service, past and present. And thank you for the opportunity to come up.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2072? Mr. President, it appears that that concludes the public testimony on this application. What's your preference as far as closing?
We will close public hearing. It's okay with council. Close public comment. Ask you to read the short title.
I will do that. Let me get my glasses on so I can see the short title. Again, it's conditional use number 2072 filed on behalf of KMH Ventures DE LLC, which is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for multifamily dwelling structures, 20 units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 5.1 acres, more or less.
Pleasure of council.
Make a motion. We approve that conditional use.
I'll second it.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Wilson, to approve conditional use number 2072. For the reasons I'm going to, with the conditions as applied by planning and zoning.
It appears they're sufficient.
Questions on the motion? Let me
clarify for the gentleman who did come down. I didn't want to respond immediately, but the GR district permits, as part of our code, the 4 units to the acres. So we're in a kind of a pickle sometimes here when the code since 1974 has permitted that, and it's unless you have some exceptional reasons to deny and other things, it's difficult to not be in a, you know, approve something like this. So with the application, it seems that they are well within the limits of the permitted zone, and it's been, like I said, it's been that way for 30-40 years. GR districts typically had manufactured housing. This seems to be a deviation from that, but still, it's still permitted. Anyway, that's basically all I wanted to make some comments. So that's all. Not really a question. Just a clarification.
Any more questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
I believe that this is a very appropriate change as it relates to what the plan is, and seeing the conditions, and yes, of course, with the individual who just provided some opposition and concerns, which are certainly valid, as it relates to the environment and the protection of that environment. I'm confident that the Sussex County Conservation District will do their job as it relates to that. And so in the end, I will support and vote yes with the conditions A through J as recommended by Planning and Zoning.
Mr. Burton. I too have concerns with the environments, but really more importantly about the walkers that are on that road, because I know that there's just no shoulders on that road at all. Walker, biker, it's hard enough with a car. And I know there's not much we can do about that with this application, but what land he does own, he's dedicating with a sidewalk. And so my motion would be in favor with the conditions placed on by Planning and Zoning.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote yes for recommendations of P&Z.
Mr. Cole.
I'll have to follow suit. It's a GR district, which, as I just alluded to, permits 4 units to the acre. If we didn't get this type of development, obviously with the amount of development that has already occurred in that area, I can see no reason why it wouldn't be 20 or some number near that, whether it be a manufactured home, single-family home, or like this is a multifamily type of a condominium type of arrangement. But it's they're single homes. I think it will be fairly compatible with other single-family home type development in the area, and will not, have the appearance of a typical multifamily townhouse type project, that everything's attached as opposed to detached. So my vote was yes.
I also would agree with the council members' comments, and with the conditions placed on about planning and zoning, I think it will have to do the right thing. Vote yes, motion carried. Have we got anything else for today?
I'm not sure.
Wait a minute.